Samech Aleph Amud Beis on the second wide line, picking up the two dots. The Mishnah said, "Ve'ezehu tarbis." What's considered tarbis or ribis? And hamarba bepeiros, somebody who increases the produce they have through some sort of deal. Ketzad, how so? And then it gave an example of laka chemenu chit minerzav, etc. Now the question the Gemara is asking is atu. Kol hani damina nadhashta, what all of those that we have said up until now, lav, ribis, who, in other words, the Mishnah gave examples. You lend somebody 4 dinars, he pays you back 5. You give someone 2 pounds of flour, he gives you back 3. What were those? Were not those ribis? So, Amar Bavo, Ad Khan, I put a diamond around Ad Khan, a line and a half later, abbreviated Ad Khan, I put a diamond around that, and a line below that, plus a few words, is another Ad Khan, and put a diamond around that. So 3 distinctions we're going to make. Here's the first. Ad Khan Shel Torah. Up until this point, before here, the Mishnah was discussing Deoraisa Ribis. Like, I lend somebody $100, he pays back $120, that's Deoraisa Ribis. Mikan Ve'elach, but from the third line of the Mishnah and onward, is Shel Tivrim, it's Derabanan cases of Ribis. V'chein Amar Rava, Ad Khan Shel Torah, Mikan Ve'elach Shel Tivrim. Another distinction, Ad Khan is the pasuk that brings up the concept of Yochin Rasha, the Yilbash Tzaddik. The wicked one prepares it, the righteous one wears it. So if you have a Jewish person who charges ribis, that's an evil thing to do. But when he dies, he'll leave the all of his money, including the ribis money, to his children. Children don't have to pay that back. The Gemara asks, though, in the Doraisas, Ad Khan, Visulo, what? And it's only in Doraisa ribis that's the case? Ella Afilu, even in Doraisa cases, Ad Khan, Yochin Rosh, Avil Bash Tzaddik. And the third Ad Khan, Ad Khan ribis Kitsutsa. So the previous examples were set ribis. And set ribis is where Basin will actually force a lender who collected set ribis to return it. Ad Khan ribis Kitsutsa, Mikan Ve'elach. The other examples that we have afterwards are Avak ribis. Avak literally means like the dust of ribis, or we'll call it secondary ribis, or similar to ribis type cases, period. We now have a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. I circled Rabbi Elazar here, and a line later I circled Rabbi Yochanan. Going on the issue we had just mentioned, Rabbi Elazar says, ribis kitsutsa, if it's set ribis. Let's say I lend somebody $100, and the agreement is he'll pay me back $120 next month. He pays me back $120. The ribis kitsutsa yotza'a bidayanin can actually be seized away from me. I'm the evil lender who collected the $20 of interest. It can be seized away from me. And avak ribis, however, derabanan ribis issues, as much of a no-no as it is, eina yotza'a bidayanin, the judges are not going to get involved to seize the illicit gains away from the lender. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, who we circled Amar, he says, Afilu ribis ketsutsa, even full-fledged deoraisa ribis, nami eina yotza bedayanin. It's certainly not allowed, but the rabbinical establishment is not going to get involved to seize it away from the lender. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, I half-box Rabbi Yitzchak, my time at Rabbi Yochanan, and I guess we could double-underline Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Adabarava is 2 lines later, I half-boxed him. A line below that, the fifth word is Rav, I half-boxed him. And on the bottom line, I half-boxed Nachum Bar Yitzchak and noted Rabbi Elazar's name the same way we noted Rabbi Yochanan's name. So we're going to have later generation. I'm explaining Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. So says Rabbi Yitzchak, my time, what's the reason for Rabbi Yochanan? He says, even Rabbi Kitsutsa, the Rabbanim are not going to get involved and force a payback of collected ribis. Amar Kra, well, it's based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Beneshech nasan v'tarbis lakach v'chai lo yichye eskol hatoivo yisaela asa." That's the pasuk. It's Yecheskel Yudches pasuk Yud Gimel. With interest does he give, and with interest does he take. V'chai, you expect a person like that to live, lo Yichye, he ain't gonna live for all of these abominations has he done. So it sounds like he basically gets like death for that on some level. Lemisa nitan, and that's exactly the point. Death is what he gets for loy lehishavayin, and not to enforce a payback. No, he should give it back, but the courts will not force it. Ravada barava, we also have boxed amar kra. Here's the pasuk for Rabbi Yochanan's understanding. Pasuk says, "Al tikach miitoy neshach the tarbis the yareisa melekecha, and thou shalt fear your God." And that's exactly what a person has to do. Lemoira nitan, for fear of God, v'leilehi shavain. So the person's responsibility is to fear the Baruch Hashem, not take it in the first place, or if he does do it on his own, but not that the courts get involved. Rava amar miguve de krush mele. We actually, or I guess Rabbi Yochanan would learn it from the pasuk itself. The pasuk itself, I guess, the one in Yechezkel, says, "Mois yumas damav boy yihyeh." So he shall surely die. His the blood will be his responsibility. Hukshu, and we see then a connection in the pasuk, malve ribis, to from people who lend out the interest of shevchei damim to people who murder. Ma shevchei damim loinit nuli shavain. If a person lo aleinu murder someone else, well, you can't bring him back to life. Af malve ribis. So two, those who lend out with interest, lo nit nuli shavain, it's not something that can be given back. Amar Rav Bar Yitzchak. Okay, those were all explanations of Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rav Bar Yitzchak, my time at Rabbi Lazar. He says that the rabbinical establishment will get involved, the Rabbanim, the Beis Din, and enforce a refund of the ribbis money. So Rav Bar Yitzchak says, what's the reason for that? What's the reason of Rabbi Lazar? Damar Kra. Pasuk says, Vechei Achicha Imach, and your brother shall live with you. Now, it makes it a lot easier for somebody to live if they don't have to worry about paying interest. The Hadrele, so it's like telling the Jewish people, the authorities, to make sure it gets given back to the lender, the interest that was paid. Ki hechi de nichye behadach, so he'll be able to live, to economically survive along with you. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan, we understand Rabbi Yochanan. What would Rabbi Yochanan, hi, the pasuk of Vechei Achicha Imach, my avodah, what does he do with it? Well, he'll tell you, me by Elay, Likedisanya. He would need it for that which is brought out in the following, slightly longer than six line Tanaic source. This is a classic case in the Gemara. Two people traveling together. I guess it's a wilderness. There's only enough water for one. What do you do? So, Shnayim Shahayu Mahalkin Baderech. Two people traveling, and there's no one else on the road, and no streams of water. Ubiyad echad men kitor shemayim, one of them has a flask of water. Kama im shoysin shneim, if both of them drink from the flask of water, in all likelihood, mesim, both of them will die. There's not enough water if they split it. Vim shoysa echad mehen, and if one of them drinks it, magia le yishuv, he'll be able to survive and reach an inhabited area and live. So what do you do? Darash ben Petura. Hemlen ben Petura. Interesting his name. Like Petira is to die. He's the one who says, Mutav sheish tu shneim. Better they should split and both drink. Viamusu and both die. Val yira echad mehem. And not make it the situation where one of them has to see the misasa shechavera, the death of his colleague. Kama ad sheba Rabbi Akiva. Until Rabbi Akiva came along. And on Rabbi Akiva, he's often the delineator of normative Jewish practices for about the last 2,000 years. He says, V'limein, and he taught. No, the pasuk says, and here's what we use the pasuk for, quote, three words, V'chei achichimach, your brother shall live with you, meaning like with you. You have to be living, and then you take care of your brother. Chayecha, your life, koit bin l'shel chaveirecha, has to come before. Obviously, we have tremendous sensitivity and attention and focus on other people, but the main attention, or the first level attention, has to be on ourselves. Okay, that's the end. That's an egg source. I put a triangle on this mace. It's going to be the first of two Tanaic sources. The next one is about 12, 13 lines down. First word on line is lahachs. Here in the middle of the line, there's a mace vei. And this is going to be marshaling the machlokas between Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Yochanan that we had in the bottom of the previous Amud. Essentially, due to the dayanim, the courts get involved to seize away from a lender ribbis that he collected. So let's see this today's source. It goes for two lines and starts here. Let's say you have a father and some sons, and the father died, and part of that which was left in the estate was money that had been collected as interest. Even though the sons know that this is money that was collected as interest, they do not have to return it. That's the end of the Tanaic source. Now, who doesn't have to return it? They don't have to return it. But if the father was still alive, apparently, the diuk would be ha-avihen. If their father was still alive, chayav lahachzir, you would have to give it back. It would be like enforced by the courts. That would be a question on Rabbi Yochanan, who said, no, ribbis isn't seen to by the courts. So, Gemara answers, bedinhu, the truth is, davuan nami loy mechayav lahachzir. It could very well be that the father also doesn't have to return it, and that would be good for Rabbi Yochanan. Well, then why did it teach it in the context of that the children after their father died don't have to return it, if even the father himself doesn't have to? Since it wanted to teach the seifa of that Tanaic source, which we'll see right now, two lines, box it off. Here's the seifa. Hiniach lahen avihen. Now, this is going to be a case that relates specifically to the children, which is kind of the reason why the earlier part of the snake source taught itself in the context of the children. Let's say, though, a similar type of scenario, father died, leaving some sons, and the father was a bit of a dishonest character, a bit of a thief, and he leaves in the estate, para vitalis, v'chol davar mesuyam. He leaves like a cow that everyone knows is really the next door neighbor, Billy Bob's cow, or he leaves a cloak that was really Carl's cloak. And anything that like people know that it belongs to someone else, that those who inherit the estate, the sons would have to return, because it's totally dishonorable to their father that they should be using something that everyone knows was stolen from someone else. That's the end of the take source. Now, that's only possible to teach in the context of the sons. Therefore, comma connector tzninami resha bit didu. The resha was also taught in the context of a reference to the children. The Gemara asks, though, vahani mipnekfod avien mimechayvi. 1 second. Do they have to really return because it would be a dishonorable thing for them to keep it because of their father? Why don't we say kri kan, apply over here the concept brought out in the pasuk of venasi be'amcha loisaor. Now the pasuk could have said venasi loisaor, a distinguished person thou shalt not curse, but it says venasi be'amcha loisaor, or it could have just said be'amcha loisaor. But what's the nasi be'amcha? So it doesn't mean that every Jew you can't curse. What it means is fellow Jews who keep the religion the way you do, who are properly doing what they should be doing. Be'oisa maisa amcha is the ones you can't curse. But apparently you could curse the ones who are basically low lives, knowingly not keeping the Torah. So over here also, what are we concerned about if the people say, hey, John, Farmer John, who died last year, that's that cow that he stole, that's that truck that he stole. Okay. Well, Kedamar Repinchas Mishmei Derava, like he said in another sugya, Bishasa Chuva, you know what? The father actually wasn't such a good guy or did some problematic things that was alive, but then he did Chuva at the end. Hachanami Bishasa Chuva, he also did Teshuva in our case. That's why we're concerned about the honor of the deceased. Well, Isa Sachuva, 1 second. Isn't part of the Chuva process, certainly if you stole something, you have to return it? If he did Chuva, my boy Gabe, why has he still got, various neighbors' items in his possession? He should have returned them. Well, he was going to, but Shalai Hispik, Lahachzir Ad Shemes. He wasn't able to return them until he dropped dead. Period. Mesfe. So back in the larger sugi of things, we had this machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, bottom of the previous Amud. Here's the next source, which, again, seems to be it'll be a little bit problematic for Rabbi Yochanan. Beisfe. The Tanaic source goes for 6 words and starts here. You box it off. Hagazlanin umalve ribis, thieves, and those who lend out for interest. Avapishagavu, even though they've collected, machzirin, they return it. That's the end of the Tanaic source, and it takes a few lines to develop this question, because the Tanaic source itself is a little bit strange. Gazlonin, people who steal things. How can you apply to them the phrase of afal pishagavu, even though they've collected? Now, gavu is always something that indicates it had been legally and rightfully taken. But somebody's a thief, what they've taken isn't legally rightfully taken at all. So the Gemara asks, Gazlanin, comma, my two words are right angles, afal bishagav uika. There's no collecting rightfully in that case. E gazel gazel, if it's something stolen, then it's something that was stolen. E loy gazel, if it's not stolen, then gazlanin karzu, why are you calling the people who took it gazlanin if it's not stolen? Ella ema, rather you have to re-understand the little brisa that we just had 2 lines ago. It's not 2 cases of a gazlan and somebody who lends out with interest. Rather, it's all one case. Gazlanin, comma, thieves. And who would fit into the category of a thief? Umainihu, none other than Malvei Ribis, people who lend out with interest. Afal pi shegavu, even though they've already collected, machzirin, they gotta return it. Now that sounds not like Rabbi Yochanan. Sounds like Rabbi Lazar. And La'olam, the Gemara tries to answer this on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan, says La'olam kesavar. No, really, he holds that a shtar ha'imed ligvois lav kegavu idami, that a I'm sorry. Let's back up. I skipped about 10 lines. The Gemara at this point says it's actually a machlokas tanoim. Last word on the line is he, tanoi he. This is about a 6-7 line. I guess it's an answer, but it's really just an attempt because we're going to reject it. But actually, it's a machlokas tanoim disanya. Machlokas tanoim, whether you have to return the interest because the courts will enforce it or not. Disanya. Bryce goes for 2 lines. Rabbi Nechenu, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Poitrin is Hamalva. They say that the one who lent out the money in a case of a loan for interest and the Arev, the guarantor, do not get Malkus. Why do they not? Haven't they violated a Torah prohibition? Usually that's what you get Malkus for. Well, Mipnei Sheyeshbehen Kum Aseh. True is a Torah prohibition, but it's something that has a, you can get up and fix it and remedy it. Now, that's the end of the snake source. My, what's the kum ase over here? Lav mishum. Is it not because Emrin and Lahu, we say to them, kumu ahadru, even though the interest was collected, go and return it. And that's what Rav Nechanya and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would say. Michlal that the Tanakama Savar, the other opinion, the Rabbana would be, say, lav b'nei adurninu, that it's not returned. Sounds like it's a machlokas time whether it's returned or not returned. The Gemara says, no, that's a nice attempt, but we reject that. Lo, my, what does it mean? Kum asay, that they can, you know, get themselves out of the Malkus by doing something. You know what the something is they have to do? Likroya shtara, to essentially tear up the document which was written that Bob lent Carl $100 and Carl's going to have to pay back $120. I guess you have another one written up that says he only owes him $100. He doesn't have to lose all the money, but to tear up the shtar. And therefore, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yochanan are not a machlokas tanoim, in which case the meisvei that we had about 8-9 lines ago is a good disproof of Rabbi Yochanan, since the Braisa wasn't discussing the obligation to return the ribbis, but rather a case where the ribbis had not even been paid yet. And that's probably why when we originally saw Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yochanan, the little ois of the Ein Mishpat, little test, was by Rabbi Lazar. Okay, my kesavar. Well, back in our Gemara, what does he hold? It's written in a document. Okay, does that mean e kesavar? I scroll out on the word e. If he holds a shtar that we legally look at a document that is able to be collected from, as though, so to speak, it's already been collected, the ha avdu isurayu, and therefore the isur is already done, and they should get the malchus. Whereas V'i, I squiggle on this, V'i lav kegavu idami, if the way you look at a written document of collection as though it's not collected yet, haloy avid v'loy klum, then no one's done anything yet, so why would there be any punishment? So the Gemara explains, la'ilam, really, kesavar, this approaches of the opinion that a sharoy midlik voice, a document which has the ability to be used to collect, lav kegavu idami, as though it's not yet connected, v'hakamash malan, and you know what we're being told over here, that actually, the mere imposing of a debt that is interest will have to be paid for is something of significance. Kamash Malan de Suma, like the Pasuk says, Lo Sasim Alav Neshech, don't place upon him a interest-bearing type of loan. That Suma is Milsehi, and the punishment would actually be Malkus if they don't rip up the shtar. Hachanam Mistabra, it actually makes sense to say like this, it's none. So we have a Mishnah that comes right near the end, I believe, of this perek. It's just about a line and a few word quote from that Mishnah. It says, "Ve'elu oivrim b'loisa say." The following is the list of those who violate the Torah prohibition on a interest type of loan deal. The malva, the one who's lending out the money. The lova, the one who is borrowing the money. The arev, the guarantor. And the edim. I squiggle in line the edim. That's the end of the quote of that Mishnah. Comma connector. Now, bish, lama all is well. Kulhu, avud, maisa. The malva, the loiva, the arev, many times, they all actually did something. Ella, the edim, the people who just witnessed it. My other, what did they do wrong? Ella, lav shvamina, you know what they did wrong? It must be, it's not that the interest, the loan itself, it's the mere imposing of a deal where there's interest to be paid. Desuma, placing milsahi, shvamina. Indeed, that is the case. Period. Amar of Safra. This is an interesting point. We don't usually do this, but we know a Jew cannot charge another Jew interest. A Gentile doesn't have the restriction. Now, Gentiles also have court systems that they set up, and therefore one of the, I guess, the rules of thumb or the benchmarks of how you know it's a deoraisa interest, which, at least according to Rebbe Lazar, the Rabban will get involved and seize away from a lender who collected it. Well, says Rav Safra the following, colon. Kol, I double underline the word kol here, and at the end of the next line, I also double underline that word kol. So here's the rule of thumb. Kol she'ilu bedinehem. If you're dealing with a Gentile court, motzi'im mi lova le malva. They would seize away from the lova to the malva. In other words, they would force the lova to pay up. He borrowed $100. He said he was going to be $120. They will force from his assets that $20 because he agreed to it. Well, kama bedinenu, in Jewish law, that's full-fledged interest, and therefore, if it gets paid up, the rabbis will step in and take it away from the Jew who was the malvin, give it back to the Jew who was the lova, bedinenu, machzirin, it'll be returned, or forced to be returned, mi, malva, from the lender, lova, back to the borrower. On the other hand, kol she'ilu bedinen ein moitzin, that if in Gentile law, they do not force the lova to pay it to the malva, kama bedinenu, in our Jewish law, that would be an example of where it's not really interest, and therefore, ein machzirin, we will not stick our rabbinical noses into the situation, and force a return from the malva, the one who collected it, to the lova. Okay, that's from Safra. Amar le Abaye, le Rav Yosef. Abaye asks Rav Yosef. We have two questions here. Here's the first. The second to last line, Ravina asks Ravashi another question. That'll be the second question. Says Abaye to Rav Yosef. Okay, so that's the general rule you're telling me. Really? Is that a good general rule? The klalahu, question mark, comma? Vahare, what about a case of sa'a b'sa'a? If Bob borrows a pound of flour from Carl and then he pays back the same pound of flour, it could be, though it's more expensive when he pays it back. The bedinehem, in Gentile law, motzi and mi lova lamava, they'll make the entire sub be paid back, even if it's worth more. Ubedinenu, yet in our Jewish law cases, in machzir mi mava lalaiva. If the full pound of flour is paid back, we will not enforce some of it to be returned. So Amar Lei says back, Rav Yosef, to Abaye, well, you see, that's not really viewed as a interest case. Inhu, betoras pikadon, asaliyode. The way they view it is essentially that it was a deposit of a pound of flour. Now, true, he's going to make a different pound of flour, but they view it as a deposit, and therefore, if you deposit a pound of flour with Jim, Jim gives back that same pound of flour or a equivalent pound of flour. They don't, basically don't look at it as an interest type of case. Here's the second question. Says Ravina to Ravashi, Vare, what about a mashkanta below nachaisa? What's a mashkanta below nachaisa? Rashi says, malva mois, Rashi is on the first line underneath the Gemara, malva mois al ha kerem. So let's say I have a vineyard and I need to borrow money. So I borrow some money on my vineyard. What does that mean? Ve'oichal es ha'peiros ve'ina paisik l'nachos loy minachayv. And the one who lent me the money is able to come and eat grapes from my field, and he doesn't subtract from the money I owe him at all for that which he's eating, and it's basically interest. In other words, he lends me $100,000, and I'm going to pay him back $100,000, but like almost as the interest payment is he's eating grapes the whole time. He can eat all the grapes. That's a mashkanta. It's a loan which is leaned to certain producing assets, and the producing assets, as long as the loan is not paid back, get to be collected by the Malva. So without the Nechaisa, debit dinehem in a Gentile courts, Moitzian miloiv lemalva, they will enforce basically that the like the grapes would have to be given, and if the Lov actually took the grapes, they would seize them away or make him compensate the Malva. Ubedinenu, but in Jewish law, ein machzirin, it will not be returned from the Malva to the Loiva. Amarle, so in this case, I guess it was, says back Ravashi to Ravina, again, a similar type of answer, that they also, they don't view this as a pure ribbis issue. Inhu, the Gentile courts, betaras zvini asa leyadayu. They look at it more as like a sale, which is kind of like, let's say the grape, the vineyard doesn't produce that year. So it's not really interest. Interest is always where it's like a guaranteed larger amount that has to be paid back. Well, if that's the case, then what are the we had this general rule. Where does it apply? Ella kol shilu bedinehen dekam Rav Safra, which Rav Safra said on the bottom of the previous Amud, maya slash minan. What is it coming to teach us? Like, what would be the case specifically that in Gentile courts they don't seize it away, and is a case of ribbis, and in Jewish courts we won't return it. What would that case be? So here we go. Ella kol shebidayin dekam Rav Safra maya slash shminan hachi asar shminan. This is what is coming to teach us. We'll have a and a B. A, I double underline the word kol. Kol she'ilu bedinehen. If in the Gentile courts, motzi'in, mi lova le malva, they'll force the lova to pay up the interest which he agreed to, bedinehenu, in the Jewish courts, then it's real full-fledged interest, and if it gets paid off, we will machzirin from the malva to the lova. Umayniyu, what's that? That's ribbis katsutsa. It's like set ribbis. Hey, I'll lend you 100. And you'll pay me back 120, pays me back 120, the rabbis will step in and seize that 20 away from me. Uke de Rebbe Elazar, which would be just like Rebbe Elazar that we had on the bottom of the previous Amud, who says that the courts will get involved and see to it and seize it back. Comma, kol, I double in on this word, kol, and called it B. However, kol shilu bedinehem, if in Gentile monetary court law, Ein moitzian, they will not force the borrower to have to pay it, or the person has to pay it to pay it. Bedinenu, in our Jewish law, ein machzirin, we will not return. Umayniyu, and what is that? Well, that, and this is the punchline, is ribbis mukdemes or ribbis meucheres, which we'll see a lot more about when we get to the end of this parak. Essentially, ribbis mukdemes is, let's say I'm going to ask Bob to lend me $10,000. So like a week before I ask him, I go over to his house and I give him like a beautiful new bowling ball just for you, Bob. Now, the whole reason I'm doing it is because I want to give him something of value that he'll give me the loan. Or Ribbis Mucheres, I got a loan from Carl and I paid it back. And then I bring like a meat platter, a $500 amazing meat platter, because essentially I want to give him something of value after he lent me. That's Ribbis Mukdemes and Ribbis Mucheres. Okay, the Mishnah said, Ketzad, it gave an example in the Mishnah, and it had a pretty elaborate case of, I'll read it again in the Mishnah, he purchased, let's say there's me and Bob. So, lachachim enu chitin bediner. I, as like a business transaction, I agreed to purchase wheat bediner zav for one dinar zav, for 25 silver dinars, for a pound. Let's say a core is much more, maybe for 100 pounds. V'chein asharon, that was the market price at the time. I didn't take it yet, though. Kama amdu chitin b'shloishim dinrim. At the time, let's say a month later, it now, for that same 100 pounds, it would cost 30 dinners. Amarlo, and I, the purchaser, say, okay, listen, ten li chitai, I'd like my wheat now, shani writes le meichan, because I want to sell it, alikach ben yain, and purchase some wine. And the supplier says, well, listen, how much you say? Yeah, the market price is 30. So imagine you have a credit of 30, or chitai chasui salai for 30, and I also have, I'll provide you the wine at the rate of 30. So 30, whatever the going amount of wine is for 30. But the supplier doesn't have 30. That is the case the Mishnah brings. Okay, coming off of that case. Is it really a problem if the seller doesn't have wine? If the guy who was supposed to provide the wheat doesn't have the wine right now? Since like any makolet, any shop, any person will have wine, he could simply go down the street and buy some wine. So why is it a problem? V'chi ein lo yayin mai have veha tznan. We have a Mishnah. We'll see a little bit later in this Masechta. I box it off. It goes for two lines. It says, in general, it used to be in those days, you couldn't really get everything all the time. There would be like seasons, and you could get it seasonally before the season. Very hard to get, but during the season, everyone had it. So let's say, can you enter into a forward contract before the market opens for that particular commodity? So you can certainly buy, if someone has payros, at whatever price that you want, but you cannot give a set amount of money for the produce because there's no market price for it yet. However, Yatsa Ashar, once the market price comes out because the commodity is readily available, then it's no problem entering into, I guess, a forward contract. You know, I'll agree, I'll pay you $10,000, you'll provide me the wheat at today's price, and that's even if the supplier, the supplier who made this deal, if he doesn't have, no problem, because he could go down the road and get from someone else. So then what was the problem in our Mishnah? And the Gemara is going to give three approaches to deal with this. Amar Rabba, I circled Rabba's name, and I put a number one in the margin. About eight lines below that is Abaye. I circle Abaye and I put a number two in the margin. And on the bottom line, the first word is Rava. I circle Rava and put a number three in the margin. Oh, here's the Gemara's first attempt to answer, like, what's the problem if he doesn't have any wine? Well, Amar Rava, Masnisin, our Mishnah is a Bebalachu Bidmein Askinan. You're coming to take the value of something as opposed to real cash being paid right now. Ukedesanya. What's beba lachu b'dmein askinan? Rashi, as always, is beautiful. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi is across from here about five, six lines down. Dibur maschil. Our Mishnah is a case of beba lachu b'dmein askinan. Shaloi nasan loizeh ha-meicher le-loikeach. When the mocher is approached by the lokeach and asks for some, he doesn't give him d'mei hachitin. He doesn't give him, let's see, he's supposed to give him wheat, the core of wheat. Now it's worth 30. He doesn't give him the 30. Shechayev loishi yachzor v'yikablim himenu bishvil hayayin, because he would have to then take it right back from him and then have a credit for wine by himself. Ela bala asoyis alav demechit. He wants to take the value of the chita as a chayiv, as a further debt. Velifzik ala chayiv yayin. And to agree that based on that money owed, there'll be that amount of wine that he'll be provided. The kach amar lo, this is what he said to him. Ani mekabel alai chitech. Listen, I'm going to take the wheat that I'm supposed to give you upon myself. B'shloshim dinner, so it's 30 dinner. Kemo sha'ata yachol l'mayikon, which truthfully, if I gave it to you and you would try to sell, that's what you would get in the market. Varei lecha etzli, and view it as me behen as yayin kashar shalachshav, whatever the current market price is for wine. Well, you got a credit by me. Kama. D'i, I squiggle on the word D'i in the Rashi. D'i, havile yayin. If that seller actually had wine, havikinu le machsha, then it's not a problem. And the purchaser would have the wine from that point on. V'i eiker, and if the price of the wine went up, b'rishus eiker, it would go up in his rishus and the purchaser's rishus. In other words, he would win. Aval, I squiggle under the aval. Aval einloi, if the supplier doesn't have any wine currently. And also, v'huloi kibel achshav ma'oiz, he's not receiving any cash right now, or we could apply the concept shenuch haloimar. Oh, yachlulik noisay bedam shekibel. He could turn right around and purchase it with the money that he got because he's not getting any money. Nimtza sheina mitzlei ella behalva ba alma. That's the issue. So if we go, it's quite a Rashi, but if we go back up to Rabba. Rabba said the Mishnah is a case of bebalachu bedemayin asking. There's no actual cash money being paid at the time. Ukedesan, as we see in the following price, that there's a big difference between if there's money being paid right now or not. A brisa that we'll see is a almost six lines in the next verse, and it starts here. So let's say I lent out $100 to Bill. V'halach v'amad layal groinoy, and I want my $100 back from Bill. So I go and stand by his threshing floor area, v'amar, and I say to him, hey, listen, tain li ma'usai, I'd like my money, please. I'd like you to pay me back, shani reitz likach b'hen kitin, because I would like them to that money to be able to purchase wheat. Amar loy, so Bill says back, he's the borrower, he says, oh, Horowitz, how are you? Chitim yeshli, shani neisanach. Well, what do you know? I got some wheat and I'll give you my wheat. What do you say? Tseva asa alai kishar shel achshav. So let's figure out what the market price is right now, and that'll be our deal. And I'll provide to you also months, like, I don't know, once a week or once a month, I'll provide you a certain amount of it. That's actually usser. Why? As it's basically not like a case where there's any money being paid, because remember, there's no money being paid at the time. It was a debt from previously. That's why it would be usser. Okay, that's the way Rabba explains the Mishnah. Amale Abaye, and then Abaye says to Rabba, well, one second. If the Mishnah is referring to a case that it's not like any money is being paid and that's the issue, then my area, what difference does it make? Ain loy, that he doesn't have anyone, and that's why we said it's an issue. Afilu yesh loy, nami, even if he does have wine, it's a problem, according to you, Rabba, and basically still be usser, since there's no cash being paid at the time. So even if he has wine, who cares? There's no cash being paid at the time. It's not like Yisroel Baliyodai Dami. Ella? So I squiggle in on the Ella, and we had circled the Baye. Again, the issue is, why is there a problem in our Mishnah if the person can just go right down the street and buy some wine to provide? So Baye says, Masisin is to be understood Kedetani Rav Safra, like Rav Safra taught Be Ribis to Be Ribchia in the Tanaic source that had to do with interest taught in the Academy of Rebchia. The Tanya of Safra, the Ribbis Be Rebchia. The following Brisa, which goes for about 5.5 lines and starts here. Yesh Dvarim Shein Mutarin. There are things that are actually permissible. However, Vasurin, we say they're forbidden to do Mipnei Ha'aramas Ribbis, because it kind of looks like it's ribbis. Now, it's not even really ribbis, but maybe it kind of looks like the people are doing it because so they can like get around the issur of ribbis, and therefore you're not allowed to do these types of things. Well, Ketzad, what would be an example of this? Amar loy. So if I say to Jim, hey, Jim, halveni mana. Can you lend me a mana? Mana is a 25 sela. That's what I'm asking to borrow. Amarlan, Jim says back to me, he says, listen, Horowitz, mana ainly. I don't have a mana. However, chitim b'mana yeshli shani noisan lach. I do have wheat worth a mana that I'll gladly give you as a loan. Nasan lechitim b'mana, so that's exactly what Jim did. He gave me a mana's worth of chitin. The chazer v'lachan emenu, and now since he gave me the chitin, I owe him 25 sela. And he turns right around, v'chazer v'lachan emenu, he purchases that wheat from me, Be'eshim ba'arba sela, for 24 sela. In other words, big picture, he's giving me 24 sela, and I owe him 25 sela. That is mutter. However, asal asayis kimim ne haramas ribis. It's forbidden to do a transaction like that because it kind of looks very fishy. Gives the impression of, well, in the end, like, he gave me 24, and I'm going to give him 25 later. That's the issue. So then, hacha nami, the following case can be read into our Mishnah Kegoyin de Amar. Let's follow over here. So we're trying to say that the following is what the Mishnah's case was. Halveni Shloishim Dinrim. The original approach of me to, let's say, Al was, hey, Al, lend me 30 dinners. Amar Le, Al says back to Horowitz, Shloishim Dinrim Ein Li, I don't have 30 dinners. However, Chitim Shloishim Dinrim, I do have wheat worth 30 dinners. Shani noisen lecha, and I'll give it to you, and you can take that. Noisen lechitim eshleishim dinrim. So he gives me the 30 dinners worth of wheat. The chazv lecha menu be dinners of. And then he turns around and purchases from Horowitz dinners of for 25. So I owe him 30, and he basically gives me 25. That's where we say, colon. E is le chamra la loiva. If the loiva has wine at that time, de yohiv le, that he could return to the malva to cover that debt of shloshim dinar, then essentially pira hu de kashakam yinev le sanba. Then pira, which literally means like fruit, produce, what's called in this case the wine, is that which she is taking from him, and then there's no problem, because it's not like money being given and money being given back, money being given and like theoretically you can give back the wine. The ilo, and if not though, kaven de leis le chamra, since there is no wine that the loiva has, vadai mishkal zuzimine, then for sure he's taking and will look at the cash that's being given out and then paid back, and mexi karibas, that's why it looks like a problem of interest. Kama. Amar le Rava, the same way that Abaye, before he had approach number two, had commented on Rava's approach, Rava's going to do the same thing here now on Abaye's approach. Amar le, so says Rava to Abaye, and we're going to go through, Rava's going to say that's a very interesting way to understand or to explain the Mishnah, but like the words really don't seem to sound like that. And I think it's going to be four different sections of the Mishnah that Rava's going to quote and say, well, like, again, it doesn't sound like that. So says Rava to Abaye, Ihachi, Tain li chiti, in the Mishnah, these are all quotes from the Mishnah, I put them in right angles. So Tain li chiti, give me my wheat. Well, what do you mean? He didn't actually want wheat. He wanted the demei chiti mi bayale. It should be the value of the wheat, please give to me. So the Gemara answers, okay, understand the Mishnah tzni as though it said demei chiti, the value of my wheat. Here's another question. Put the next two words in right angles. Shani adds in the back right. So the Maichran, that's the end of the quote for the Mishnah, because I want to sell them. Well, what do you mean I want to sell them? He doesn't want to sell them. He wants the cash. Shemachartim lach, that I sold to you, me bayale, is what it should have said. So here too as well, the Gemara answers, tzni, okay, teach in the Mishnah. We're doctoring up this Mishnah quite a bit here. Shemachartim lach. Okay. Third question. Here's another quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that he says back to him, behold, your wheat is going to be looked at or accounted by me as 30 dinar. What do you mean? That sounds like that's only happening now? Wasn't that like from the onset the way the deal was structured? Answers the Gemara, Hachi Gamarle. This is what he's saying to him. Bidemei chitecha sha'asisa alai b'shleishim dinner harilachasli b'hen yayin. The value of the chitim that you already made as like a 30 dinner arrangement is going to be viewed as a credit towards wine that I have. The yayin ain't lain. He doesn't have any wine at this time. One final question, though, Vaha, and here's a quote. It's actually from the earliest part of the case in the Mishnah. I put it in right angles. Vaha, bedinar zahav hakur. It's 25 dinars for each court. V'chein hashar, and I double underline v'chein hashar, and that is the market price. That's the end of the quote from the Mishnah, end of the right angle. Kitani is what it says, and as Rashi so beautifully says, about six lines below the Gemara, Dibur Maskel and Rashi, Habdiner Zav, Hakur, Bechena Shar Ketani, Ve'im Kidvarecha. This is essentially Rava saying to Abaye, if it's really like the way you're saying, Keshelachan Bediner Zav, Haya Shar Shloishim, that even at the time he bought it for a dinar Zav, for 25 silver dinners, the market price was 30, Vahai de Ozil Gabe, and why the market price was 30? Was he charging him 25? Because he was giving him a discount. De'iashar bedinar zahav. If it was a dinar zahav, v'zehela malav shloishim dinar, and the other person charged 30, mi karuk minu be ribis bishril hamtanase. Well, that would seemingly be, if it was 25 on the market and he's charging him 30, that would be a case of ribis from the onset. Ella amarava, we circled Rava, he's a third approach. And we'll read another line or two. Ki shachivna, Rava says, when I die, says Rava, who's going to come, be one of the ones to come out and greet me in Shemayim? Rav Isha Nafak Lavasi, he'll come out to escort me, I guess maybe to the heavenly yeshiva, de mitaratz namasnis and kavase, for I was able to explain our Mishnah here in the fifth parak of Matzia according to his approach to Tan Rav Isha. Now we have a brisa. This brisa goes 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines exactly. And Rabbi Yisrael Shem will pick up with this brisa next shiur.